to Pod of No Return, an in-depth, sometimes humorous, behind-the-scenes tour of real life and a Broadway show with your hosts, Greg Mills and Jeremy Stoll.
Well, hello. Welcome to the Pod of No Return with Greg Mills, Jeremy Stoll, and our producer, Joyce Belitsky. It's where we talk about Broadway and Phantom and basically anything else we feel like. Later, we will answer questions from the audience submissions on our Instagram at Pod of No Return. We have a new form for asking questions. It's a Google form. If you go to our bio and submit your Google form, we will read and hopefully it will be on one of our podcasts. So please definitely go to Pod of No Return if you haven't followed already and ask your questions. We love them. Your questions have been amazing thus far. So keep up the good work, people. Thank you very much. Today, we are talking about our favorite mistakes on stage. And later, we will vote and crown mishaps. So we'll talk about our favorite mishap. And to join us today, we are going to have our 25th anniversary Raoul Vicomte de Chagny join us, Mr. Kyle Barisich. Woo-hoo! And that happens later. Greg, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. How has your week been?
It's been pretty good. You know, I made a couple trips back to the Majestic Theater. Taking my camera and, you know, getting some shots there. I heard you were there too.
I was there. And for anybody listening, if you are interested in some backstage content or what's happening at the Majestic, Greg Mills is at GMightyMills at Instagram and I'm at Jeremy Stoll at Instagram and we're posting relentlessly, the demise of the Majestic. So if you want to see some inside pictures there, I believe there's some pretty great ones.
It's really wild, like walking around there and, you know, going under the stage and the dressing rooms and, you know, where all the costumes were and, you know, all the lockers are out of there. It's just they've cleared everything out
even,
under the
even
stage.
Even to the point where they're taking the fabric off the walls.
Yeah. Yeah, they're stripping everything.
Everything is going. And did you see that picture? If you go to my Instagram, you see the picture of my dressing room and it's bare. Because Justin Peck, our dancer, he's actually on the crew right now, stripping down the theater, and he's taking pictures for me like crazy, and I love him for it.
Actually, I put a picture up of Justin up on the catwalk above the proscenium as they were taking that stuff down. He was up there.
He was up with Orin, and there's a and they revealed yesterday, as you saw, the original proscenium.
Yep.
That was insane. The original proscenium is not that gold angel monstrosity that we have in front, but it's actually just what would you call it?
It's just a
ribbon of golden flowers or
it actually matches the dome, you know, the center of the ceiling there. It's the same kind of pattern. So
and it was pristine because it's been covered up for 36 years. So there's barely any dust on it. It was nice to see. It's like a time capsule moment, which I enjoyed a lot. I noticed on your Instagram that you walked over to the Starlight Deli.
Yeah, 39 years that Mr. Min has been working and serving Broadway and the New York City community at the deli there. And so a bunch of people, the whole community came together and sang happy trails to him. And they took up a collection for his retirement. And I think they gave him a big old wad of money, about $17,500 that they had collected.
Are you serious?
Yeah, to send them off. So
who headed this up? Like, where was this posted?
I don't know.
I feel like I missed out.
My friend Pam Rimmler was posting a lot on Instagram. She's a former dancer, dance captain, and she now does stage management. But I know like some of Broadway Cares was there. Rob McClure was part of that, you know, getting it together, organizing. So they just took up a big collection for him, gave him a big framed poster of him in front of his deli, in front of Starlight Deli, and people had signed it. And there was probably close to 100 people or more
spilling out into the streets. The picture was amazing. It looked like they were crying. Were they just so overwhelmed by it?
Yeah. I mean, his wife was there and, you know, she was emotional. He was so touched, you know, he got up on a little stepladder and was just kind of waving everybody. And it was really a nice moment,
you know,
to celebrate all he's done. I did. I finally, after kind of cleared up a bit, I got up to him and, you know, I shook his hand and I said, thank you from everyone at Phantom of the Opera. And I said, you did so many events for us. And he was just, he's the nicest man.
Did you find out about the black and white cookies? Because we cannot lose those.
We can't. I know. They're the greatest, right?
Seriously. I mean, we talked about that last week. It's legit the best black and white cookie in town.
Yeah.
Love them. Oh, yep. My gosh. Well, that's awesome. It's been kind of a week, right? It's just back and forth to the theater, and it's still as if we're working at the theater.
I know. I think there was a
comment. Yeah. It was a comment one time that we should be paid for all the time we're spending at the theater anyway, off of contract.
Yeah, really.
Well, what's happening with your week? Do you have any recommendations? How about let's recommend some TV shows? What are you watching this week?
TV shows. Right now, my wife and I are watching on Netflix. It's a show called Beef.
Okay.
It's just I don't want to give away too much. You know, it's not about meat or anything like that. It's more about a beef between two people. It's a great show. Yeah.
Are they the gym rats? Are they like really in shape kind of people?
No. It's it just basically it's almost like a case of road rage that goes on too far.
Gotcha.
But it's awesome. It's really amazing.
I've been watching.
What about you?
I've been watching the next season of Ted Lasso, and I'm dying for it.
So good.
If Ted Lasso was a religion, I would be the first one on Sunday. It's just so great and so positively fantastic. Football is life. it's like Saturday Night Live on the fact that it's so quotable all the time.
Oh yeah.
I love it. And I was watching Rob Lowe's new show. I think it's Unhinged.
Oh, I don't
or
know
Unstable.
That.
Unstable or Unhinged. It's on Netflix and it is so freaking funny. It's
nice.
The premise is he and his son are scientists and they've lost the wife and the mom and they're kind of dealing with it, but over the funniest way. He's just always trying to be on this positive note while the world is crumbling around him, and it doesn't sound hysterical, but the way I describe it, but it is so funny. Rob Lowe, he's a treasure. I really think that he is quite the comedian, which he didn't come into. What was it? The Brat Pack back in the day. He was, you know, the heartthrob, which he still kind of is, but he is a funny actor, man. He's so good.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that. It's
nice.
Unstable. Unstable is the name.
Unstable. Yeah. All right,
cool.
Let's check that out.
All right, should we get on to our big segment of the day, the mishaps segment?
Let's do it.
So Kyle is going to join us today.
Our special
let's
guest.
Let's bring on Kyle Barisich.
Woohoo!
Hello, folks.
Hey, Kyle.
I'm so excited to be here. Oh my gosh, you're coming to us from paradise. Holy backdrop.
I know. Isn't that amazing what New York City does to us, that like a glimpse of lawn equals paradise?
Oh, that's what that is, that green space back there? That's crazy.
Unrecognizable. I
yeah,
know.
Really.
Wow. That's like $10 million in real estate in New York.
You're right. You're not wrong. So I have to tell you, I am so glad that you're also aligned about the black and white cookies from the Starlight Deli.
My
right.
God.
Because,
no lie.
You know, the reason I think a lot of us even know about the Starlight Deli is because when we have those in-between show marathon poster signing sessions for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, they would always bring in amazing Starlight Deli food. And my favorite part of it was those black and white cookies. I don't even like black and white cookies, but the black and white cookies from Starlight were the absolute best.
They were crazy. It was just like cake and the hard frosting. I don't even like cake.
I
couldn't stop eating them.
I know.
I know.
I would hoard them. Like I would really like, I would pretend like I was done with my poster signing early so I could make sure to grab some of the black and white cookies. And also they would only send like one or two of the shrimp salad wraps. I think I was the only one obsessed, but like I would have to hoard those as well. I thought I'm so glad that people came together to honor him on his way out, but I'm so sad to lose the Starlight Deli.
I know. Yeah, I know, right?
It's a shame. It is a shame. I was saying before, Paul Schaefer, because he's
who?
But, yeah, exactly.
Who's that?
Mr. Pretty, Paul Schaefer. He works out a lot, and he's very good with the diet. And I think you would see him staring at the black and white cookies and like, is it worth the calories? I don't know. I got to do it. Even he would break.
I hope Paul is taking a couple weeks after the closing of the show to eat some cookies.
No way, dude. That guy is driven, man. He probably owns a small island of some sort and just figured out somehow. Again, I've never seen a guy so into whatever he's into. He jumps all in. As an example, he decided one day he wanted to rock climb. And next thing you know, he's on this trip and he's doing frozen waterfalls with the spikes in the shoes and
the ice spikes.
I mean, he goes all in. It's like,
yeah, he's cool, pushing dude. That body to the limit. Yeah. But I know he likes a good cocktail and those have a few calories in them.
That's so it's correct.
Gotta, he's got to work it out somewhere.
Oh, man. Well, we invited you today because we're talking about mishaps on
stage. We thought, who better?
Yeah.
Yeah, than the walking mishap himself. Yeah, I get it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No way.
Did you bring some stories for us today about mishaps?
Don't we feel that like the more you do a show, right, the more mishaps you're going to have? So we've all done this show. I mean, I don't know my show count. I mean, you guys both do because they did that great Instagram tribute to all the current cast members the show closing about how many shows you've done. But when you've done a role, when you've done a show thousands of times, then you're going to have hundreds of mishaps. I mean, it's true for all of us.
I disagree. My shows were perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah, perfectly messed up.
That's right. They're perfect in their own messed up little way. They're my babies.
I mean, I think that's what people love. The fans who see the show multiple times and also I think our family members and supporters who've seen the show a million times, they love when the mishaps happen. That's what people are waiting for, is for a giant mishap.
Yeah. Most of the time, I wonder if the people who paid $500 for the center row were hoping for a breakout.
Those are the people who will never know if there's a mishap. Those people, if they paid $500 to sit there, they think it was a perfect show. They have to think that.
Yeah, that's right. It's installed. Says on the ticket in small writing, yes. Everything is perfect. You know it is. Like Star Wars, there are no droids here. A funny moment. Is there anything that you remember that almost made you break? Like you were dying?
Oh, I mean, I'm one of those quote unquote actors that really, I'm always on the verge of breaking. So God forbid there's like a belch, a sneeze, a fart. God forbid there's some tiny thing that happens, because I am always on the verge. I played Ral at the show for a while, and then I came back and swung for a while, and then I came back and played Ral for a short amount of time. And I feel like I have so many mishaps from coming back, because, you know, you're a different person. You've been away from the show for a little bit. And I have this, I mean, it's indelible to me. I'm not sure if the audience caught on to this, but it happened in the dressing room scene. One of the only kind of dialogue based scenes in Phantom of the Opera, right? There's so much music, but here we are with a little bit of kind of weird, semi-busted dialogue that we got to pull over when you're playing Raoul. So,
Puppets.
Yeah, right. I mean, there you are, right? There we are trying to be suave and trying to like smoothly do this. And, you know, the direction is, you know, we're going to sweep her off our feet and we're going to sweep her off to dinner, right? So you've got that energy. You're like, now we go to supper. I go to exit the dressing room and, you know, that's the end of the little scenelet, baby. Raoul leaves. Something happens to my jacket. You know, you've got those tails on, right? The tuxedo with tails. The tails on my way out, they grab the inside handle of the door and it shuts the door shut behind me, and the tails are still inside the dressing room. I thought, I have no idea what laws of gravity have been broken to make this happen. So now I'm on the stairs outside of the dressing room and the rest of my jacket is still inside. There's no dialogue left. There's nothing left to say. I've said goodbye to Christine and I'm like, what do I do? This is that suit. This has been built on my body. They spent $30,000 on this suit. I can't rip the tails out, but I can't, what am I, can't leave the jacket there hanging.
Slowly
I can't
take get the, out of jacket the jacket off.
I thought about it, but then I thought the only thing I can do, and is what I did. I turned around. Christine's still standing there watching me go. I let myself back into the dressing room. I unhooked the tails. Don't say a word. Just kind of a little nod to Christine. And I unhook the tails and close the door back behind me. I mean, horrifying. Oh, you know, the suave, God. The gentleman, all of that is out the window. I'm just the jerk who got stuck in the door. It had to have been Allie. It had to have been Allie Ewall, unless it was whoever was the 2 a week at that point.
Do you remember what she was, how she was reacting?
She
to
was
it?
Just, she was kind of just standing there because she knew I was stuck. I mean, I, you know, when the set grabs you, the set grabs you. I was absolutely mortified, but at least I saved the costume. You know, it really, really, we know this at Phantom. It's kind of all about the costume, and you don't want trouble from the wardrobe department. So yes, at least we indeed. Saved that.
For real.
Indeed.
Nice story. Well done, Kyle.
I mean, has that ever happened to either of you? Nothing not, like that has ever happened.
Not
to
me,
you.
But do you remember, Greg, do you remember in the bows when one of our Carlottas, I won't say because I don't have permission to give her story, but one of our Carlottas walked out for her bows and the red swoop curtain grabbed her, the buttons on her cuff in her bowing dress, and her arm was stuck in the red curtain out there, and she tried and tried and tried to get out of it and eventually just stood there with her arm stuck in the curtain and bowed from the curtain, crying her eyes out because she was laughing so hard. And it was the greatest thing. And then I don't know what they did to get her out of it, but because we have to go back so the
jaws
the
of
curtain
life.
Can come in and not kill us. And I think she had to like bow and pull the curtain back with her. It was fantastic.
It's really the costumes that will get you, yeah. Because there's a lot of like dangling things, oh, and yeah. Little grabby jewels, and I mean that's what'll do it to you.
Curly haired yeah. Wigs that like yeah, yeah. To just end
I'm sure,
up in the
I'm
buttons.
Sure all of oh, us yeah. Yeah, I'm sure all of us as Raoul has during Rooftop, during All I Ask of You, when Christine comes in and you hug her, has had her hair wrap around your overcoat jacket, and then she pulls away and she is stuck to you, and the whole time she's singing, you're trying to. And, you know, eventually it winds up, bing, there goes one of your buttons, whoop, ding, 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 across the stage because Christine's head is stuck to your chest. So it's like, exactly. Oh my gosh. Or Masquerade. I've been totally caught to right.
In Masquerade, that happened to yes. Me. I remember with
so many
General
times.
Wills.
Oh, yeah.
Because that outfit in Masquerade is covered in the grabbiest gold buttons yeah. You've ever seen. Yeah. And there's just like yeah. 500 of them.
They're not buttons. They're babies' hands who are grabbing yeah. Anything they can grab.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys ever confused lines? Have you ever flubbed lines or used another character's lines at some time?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, like, oh, yeah. God forbid there was a night that I got the lyrics to All I Ask of You correct. I mean, it's only, they're only, everything repeats constantly and it's kind of the same lyric, just kind of remixed. Like,
over.
That happened all the time to me.
Did you?
I was really good at, like, keeping it going. Like, it never stopped me. But I mean, all the time I would switch things up and, you know.
Did you flip verses?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I did that. You could see me doing it. You know, again, to bring up Paul Schaefer, he would, if anything went wrong in a line, it was like watching a dog when a squirrel's out. It's like, squirrel! Because he could hear when the line was gone and he would be in such a tension.
You're
it's
right.
So funny. And I would, yeah, I totally flipped right. The lines in All I Ask of You once, and then I came off stage, and he was standing there just clapping, going, bravo, man.
He's evil. That man has an evil streak, Paul Schaefer.
Ah, he's the greatest.
You're right, he loved to watch us flub.
Oh, he loved
fumble.
It.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, do you ever flub a line, Greg?
No, I was perfect. The hardest thing for me was, and you know, as a Phantom and a Raoul cover, it was, I always found Final Lair was kind of tricky, you know, too late for turning back too late. And, you know, say you'll love her, whatever, all that stuff. You know, I
having to learn an intricate
the wrong one.
Like duet or trio in two different ways. That's really, that's rough.
Yeah. Sometimes
that's
I would just rough. Sing all of it, I would just sing both tracks and be like, I don't know. Yeah. I still
in. No, go ahead.
I'm still remembering something funny from Kyle, and I don't know if this could have been on tour. And I don't remember when it was. I think maybe I was on as Raoul, because I just remember hearing your voice come over the like an open mic situation. And I don't know if you had been Donatillo or something, but we're up on stage and it was during Il Muto, and out of nowhere, you know, the scene's going on. You hear from a mic, a hot mic, you hear, "How dare you?" Just like loud as day during the show. And we're all like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
And we knew it was Kyle, because that was a catchphrase at the time.
I'm famous for saying, "How dare you?"
Oh, God.
What they had done is they had like switched up the miking tracks. So like for some reason, the Donatillo mic was not the same mic as it used to be or something. And the soundboard was not aware. So yes, I was sitting backstage gossiping and having a great time, as one does when one has finished one scene. And there it was. Yes. I mean, that is something terrifying. I mean, don't we have stories from tour of people going to the bathroom and then you can hear, I mean, I think that happened in at the Majestic too, people in the bathroom and legend. You hear it on the mic out to the stage.
You hear the peeing in the toilet and you're just like, it's legendary, those stories.
It's like something out of Naked Gun or something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or Naked Boys Singing. I mean, it's really.
Oh, man. Do you remember the greatest flub or miss? Now that I think about it, he has two. Mr. Ken Cantor, which I would vote as mishaps.
Yes.
He at one point went up because he was the opera owner and Lefebvre. And he went up on his line when he's introducing Ubaldo Piangi. Do you remember this? And he gets up and he says,
yeah.
"And gentlemen, I would like to present to you Mr." And he looked at Piangi and went completely up. And then so his brain went backwards in his day. And he had just eaten a salad prior to walking out on stage. And he put adobo seasoning on his salad. So he ended up introducing Ubaldo Piangi as Adobo Pasquale. And then the cast, of course, without blinking, proceeded to then rename him for the entire show as Adobo.
As you must.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a rule of improv. It's like, yes, and.
Yes,
okay,
and.
Well, he's now Adobo Pasquale. Here's what I know about that story. Greg, you might remember this. Greg and I were on the road at that point.
Yes.
We had not yet performed in the Broadway company. We were in Des Moines, Iowa. And I think within like 10 or 15 minutes, this story had made it backstage to Des Moines, Iowa. We knew about that story before the show, before the curtain even come down in New York.
Yeah, now they had like texted John Keither or something, and it was already through, like we were in our show and we'd already heard about it and we were dying from that.
I'd love to hear John Keither dying like, ha, 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 ha.
But like, that's how ever. Fast the Phantom Gossip Network works. I mean, that's it made it like halfway across the country.
That's it's great. I know that was funny. That was the best phone call you could have. If you wanted any information to travel through the Phantom family, you just tell one person in the Majestic and it is on.
And it's out.
Yeah.
What about technical mishaps?
One of the greatest.
I mean,
again, this was tour, but it was one of the funniest things I've ever experienced. And we had to stop the show, which is not funny, but because the reason was funny, we were just starting Managers 2. Kyle, I don't know if you were. I'm not sure if you were there or not. I can't remember what city we were in, but one of the local dressers there was a super fan of Phantom, and she used to watch kind of when she wasn't dressing, she would stand off to the side and just watch the show. Well, I guess during Managers 2, she was standing, you know, stage left and accidentally hit the fire button. And what it does is it instantly brings in the fire curtain. So we were middle of Managers 2, and suddenly on stage, the fire curtain starts coming in, and we're all like, wait, what? And we're still singing. And it comes down and completely blocks everything off. But our, at the time, our Piangi was John Whitney. He was amazing. but he was on the downstage side of the curtain. So it cut everybody off when we're still doing Managers 2, and our Piaggi is in front, just by himself in front of the curtain, and then turns around and realizes the curtain's there, and is like doing like this mime work, trying to get back through the curtain. And then he kind of exits off the stage like a South Park character, just like sideways, and goes off the stage. We're all still singing, and there's like nothing happening because we're cut off from the stage. So we had to like stop the show so they could bring the fire curtain back in. Then our fearman starts doing like a tap number to entertain the audience. But, you know, we had to stop for like 10 minutes so they could get the fire curtain back up. And our poor Piaggi just stuck out there by himself.
The best part of that is the fire curtain is specifically designed to section off the house. So it makes the fact that you – it makes it so that the stage cannot get into the house to save the audience or vice versa.
Yeah.
And that means he was stuck out there with the audience and had to walk down into the audience and go through a cast door of some sort, which – oh, just the thought of that makes me so happy. Oh, man. I mean, technical mishaps that kind of happened a lot with us with the boats, right? There was
– yeah.
The boat would get, yes. It was on a,
I mean, you, did you have, I mean, I walked through the lagoon all the time, right? Like, I just, you never don't feel like a jerk for like walking with Christine through the lake.
Right. Like your floor. Final, yeah. Your final moment of the show, you know, your big romantic, I'm carrying the, saving the girl. I'm going to walk her across the street. Yeah.
Yeah.
In my last scheduled Phantom, which was a few weeks ago, the boat faulted. Or actually, it wasn't the boat that faulted. It was the candelabras. It's within inches. So if 1 inch goes down, things get caught, and then it sets a whole trigger to the rest of the set to not go so that things don't get broken and hurt. So the doors are open, the candelabras are coming through, and they're not coming up, and the boat comes around the bend. And it can't go until the front candles come down, and they're not coming down. So Julia and I are sitting there on the boat, and we're getting later and later into the scene to the point where I'm like, sing for me, sing my Angela music. We're still in the boat. And off stage, hopefully the audience didn't, but we could hear the stage manager going, don't get off the boat. Do not get off the boat. Because there are like 160 trap doors on stage, and it's just liability city. Like the insurance company,
don't I know
melting.
It?
Yeah,
I think it's because of me. I think that the stage managers walk out on stage and stop you guys now.
Well, explain that. I was going to say is then. Well, but, then the stage manager walked out on stage into the lair and goes, "Okay, you may go."
Like you actually, someone a fan had a video of it, and you see one of our stage managers come out and be like, you may go now. Like,
yeah,
you know, make us, there you go, signal. But yeah, because that happened one time when I was on and the boat stopped because the traps were all still open. But, you know, as we were taught as Phantoms, you know your lair. You don't look around. You're constant eye contact with Christine. And I've always done that. You know, I know where to walk, and I walk backwards and I don't look anywhere. And because the boat had stopped and we kind of got out and everything was a little weird. And I was on with Kaylee Ann Voorhees. She was my Christine at the time. And I'm backing her up. I'm like, sing my angel. And I just kept backing up, and I stepped right into an open trap where the candelabras never came out. And I went halfway through the stage and like stopped myself with my ribs. My other leg went down and like got all cut up on the candelabra.
You were so bruised.
That's a big trap.
That.
The upstage trap for the candelabra is big.
Yeah. Big. So yeah, that one hurt. So, but yeah. So kind of ever since then, they sort of keep eye on when the boat kind of messes up like that.
Yeah. Which means that the actors are more important than the show to them, which is kind of a nice thing, I think.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. Kyle, did you ever have like did you ever have a moment when you didn't jump as Raoul, or did you
all
ever have an electric portcullis moment? Those
all
were the greatest. Those were the best.
That was another example of, you know, when there is no noose in the final layer, and it was almost like lore that had been passed down from previous cast members from previous productions. There was no, as far as I was concerned, there was no official message from stage management, like, how do you handle it when there is no news? So everyone's kind of left to their own devices. You heard these stories about people well, if there's no noose, maybe I should be electrified by the portcullis, electroportcullis. I seem to remember being told or somehow having the idea that magnetic boots would be the thing.
That was it.
So
that was
I remember it. The boots. I mean, it just seemed somehow less ridiculous, but just unbelievably awkward to be yanking on your legs throughout this amazing
but
trio.
We did it.
We did it.
Best.
We did it. You know, that's commitment. That's commitment. You know, if you're in the dark all the way upstage and the people in the house can tell that your boots are now magnetic, you've done your job as an actor.
That's right. You you dive
in, another
Kyle.
Time and I, oh, yeah. There was another time I remember we did. It was like an invisible force field that came up one time. I remember and we were like pretending to pound on something. And I can't recall who the Christine was, but she like ran up there and she was like hitting it like it was some sort of like plexiglass you couldn't see. Oh, my gosh, man. Dying.
Was that in Vegas?
No, I feel like that one was here on Broadway. That happened one time. I remember watching that and
seriously?
Just cracking up. Vegas had a whole other. I mean,
no,
Vegas was,
yeah, they had like spikes. You were in like
yeah.
a cage
oh,
of
yeah.
spikes.
Raoul was in the cage of spikes. That was so cool.
Yeah, I know.
That was cool.
I never saw that production. I still wish I had.
Fine.
I remember the Raoul there, Andrew Ragone at the time. He mentioned one time that because he would get in this, you'd have to be in a certain spot, and this trap would spring up, and the spikes would spring out, and then it would lift like up in the air, like 6 feet or something like that. Maybe not that high, but. You know, so you're kind of elevated. And he said one time it didn't come down. It like something happened where it didn't come down. And he climbed from inside of it. He climbed up the bars and out of it and got himself out. I'm like, dang, good for you.
Yeah, because like if you're stuck in there, then it kind of does ruin the whole end of the show.
You
yeah,
take right? your curtain call
and
in the cage.
Together.
Yeah, there you go.
Take her, forget me. Get out of the cage.
Things have changed.
I mean, maybe that was his... That could have been his plan the whole time, was keep Raoul down there in the lair and let Christine go.
Maybe.
There's a twist.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, it's the God. New version. It's a, you just wait, guys. You just wait. They'll try it. What what was I going to... Oh, so we are rather tall people. Have you guys ever had problems with fitting in the set or getting through doorways? And how about... hiding yourself in the angel or the cross.
Painful. I always thought that was so painful. My legs are so long to like squeeze myself into the angel. Yeah, that hurt. That always hurt. I'd get there and meet my legs are cramping up. I'm like, oh Jesus.
I think that's so hard to have to sit there throughout that whole long song and scene, you know, waiting for your moment. Like I think people don't understand unless you're really inside of that role or inside of the show. How much of the role of the Phantom is like that? You know, there's all these like trials and tribulations that you have to get through in order to get to the good stuff, right? The singing, the acting, all that, that good stuff. But there's a lot of other elements that go into that performance that are also impressive, but like the audience has no idea what's going on back there.
You have to sit there in the angel and listen to the Raoul mess up the lyrics. It's just the craziest thing.
Over and over and over again.
Right?
Well, you know, Paul Schaefer loves it.
Yeah, he does.
We'll have him on. He'll say his favorite moment is sitting in the angel listening to the Raoul mess up the lyrics.
You mess it up and you can hear from up there.
And see, Joyce is pointing this out, and I had no idea about this, that in London, now the Phantom just stands behind this statue of a horse, and there's no more hiding in the angel. What a great way to update the show. I mean, that sounds like a fantastic change for the people who play the Phantom.
I've seen
I guess
the horse
so.
Statue.
I love it.
It's cool looking.
That was kind of one of my favorite things when I got into the show to get to do. It's like, I get to go up into the angel. I couldn't sleep the night before.
Mm.
It's really neat. Nice. And it's and until this last week, nobody's even not even cast members have ever really seen what it looks like inside.
Yeah, I had never seen it until you posted that photo.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, and I've never seen it in the light like that. It was wild because it's always just this really dark thing that's and it's also plugged into that cutout of the proscenium, so we don't get to see the whole thing.
And you also get to see that there, you know, there's no back to it. I mean. For years, up until, you know, a few years ago when they finally put a safety kind of harness that we were hooked into, you know, for years, there was we weren't, there was no safety harness.
We weren't harnessed in, yeah.
And there was, you know, there's no back to it. So if you ever like lean back too far, you know, it could be trouble.
Thank you. I feel like someone has mentioned that like they were like Howard McGillin or somebody was like leaning back in the chair or something. And then it did slip. I feel like there is some sort of mishap story about something with the angel.
Whoa.
No one fell out, but like, I feel like I remember him saying something about that.
Thank goodness for Greg Lavodier, our head stage manager. He came in and just walked around and went, you know, we need to update some safety. And he just made it his goal. And it was an ongoing thing. It just, on and on. He did a lot of upgrades, which was really great. So thank you, Greg. What about, do you guys have any stories from other productions that you can think of that were hysterical?
Just any production or like other productions?
Yeah, no, other productions, not a Phantom, like any other. Like, so I have one. That's why I asked. I'm trying to segue my own thing. I did a lot of Beauty and the Beasts, and in this particular Beauty and the Beast, the designer wanted everybody to see the Beast because there's a moment in the show when Belle goes to the town and she wants everybody in the town to see the Beast and see how wonderful he actually is and how his heart is warm and what a great man he is. So she brings this magic mirror into the town, and the line is, show me the Beast. And the mirror is supposed to light up and it lights up, and then she shows the town and they all react to it and they go, oh gosh, whoa, he's hideous. So let's kill him. And it does the opposite reaction. Well, this designer wanted the audience to be a part of the visual of that beast showing. So what he did was took the mirror and she pointed it at the clouds on the backdrop. And then a huge, huge, huge version of the Beast was projected onto the clouds. And we all saw it. It was really a neat effect. That was a home run effect. They did a great job. In this particular one, she came out and she did the whole scene and she said, show me the Beast. And then she points it up to the cloud, and the tech had not preset the projection. So they turned it on and it was Windows 98 up on the platform. And needless to say, the entire cast lost their minds. We actually had to stop while everybody just laughed and giggled. And the audience was laughing and it was crazy. And then I have the next line. So I'm like, so Belle, what are you gonna do? Like, and I went on with it and I got it and I grabbed it and I went on and I just kind of grunted through the lines. And then the audience gave us a standing ovation for being able to recover from it.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
Good old Windows 98.
Windows 98.
Jeez.
It's like the electricity belonging in the lair before the auction, right? Because it's the new electric light. But meanwhile, we have an electric park hall as 50 years prior.
Good point, Jeremy. Oh. I'd never thought about that before.
Oh, I did. See? Oh, I did.
Magnetic,
so it should
boots
be like
all the
gas
way.
Light portcullis.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but you know, the audience loves this kind of stuff so much that many shows now, they build this into the show. There are these moments that happen that if you don't know the show, you think, oh my God, the actors are cracking up, they're busting up, something funny happened. But like, these are moments that now are built into the production because it juices the audience so much, right? Like, I feel like the recent production of The Music Man had one of those moments where Sutton Foster and Hugh Jackman were just cracking each other up. And you think it's kind of spontaneous, but then the more people I talked to, they were like, oh yeah, that happens like every night.
Day. Oh, in the library. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, I saw that. And that was exactly my reaction. I was like, how cute they are in it together.
Right?
This is, yeah.
It's not a bad idea. Like, I totally get it, it's interesting. It reminds me of, you know, I saw Chicago a few years back. And, you know, there's that song, I Just Can't Do It Alone, where Velma is, you know, singing to Roxy and showing her about her act and kind of inviting her to join up. And Roxy sits back and watches Velma perform this insane number. And at the end, Velma's like, well, what'd you think, Roxy? And the night that I was there, the Roxy said, it's all right. I think I'd like to see that last part like one more time. And the whole cast instantly started busting up. And I'll be damned if they didn't turn to the conductor and they said, let's do that last verse one more time. They did half the song again.
Wow.
The audience so the audience thought, I mean, we lost our minds. We couldn't believe what we were seeing. And it was, I mean, people were standing up, just like cheering to see this happen again, right? Who sees like an encore in a Broadway show that feels so old school?
Yeah.
And then come to find out, I asked some friends, this is an old tradition with Chicago that like Anne Rankin used to do back in the day with Gwen Verdon or whoever, that it's a thing that occasionally will happen at Chicago, but like, it's kind of like seeing a unicorn. Like you never know when it's going to happen, but it's a thing that does sometimes happen. But I'll never forget, because it just felt so in the moment and organic. We like couldn't believe our eyes.
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
Our show's not designed for that, which is unfortunate.
No, I mean, you could never.
Could you imagine, like
you know, that
Emily's last wishing like you were somehow here again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Emily, David Caddick, one more time.
Hannah!
Wishing you were some. I mean, the last few nights we could have done that, though. They wouldn't let him leave the stage.
You
crazy.
Maybe you should have.
I know, right?
Well, we were caught off guard on the second to last night. We had I don't know if you heard, Kyle, but we had a 30-minute standing ovation.
No, I heard the audience would not leave the house.
It was really special. And we legitimately had nothing to offer. They were going, one more song. And we were looking at each other like, I don't know what to do. And then we did our farewell tradition as we do on stage. Thank God, once again, our leader, Greg Lavoti, came up with the idea. And it was a beautiful moment.
That's a great idea. That's the perfect thing to do. I mean, it sounded to me like that was almost like the final show, because that was the final public performance. Yeah. And the show has always been about the audience, like that real audience who are so into the show. So I was so over the moon to hear that that's what happened. Like, that is exactly the reception that you all deserved that final week. I mean, come on.
Thanks, man. It was
pretty awesome.
It was special. Our fans are just amazing. It goes to show how much they love it and how much they're going to miss it. And I'm really sad that it's not going to be there for them. But there we are. Yeah. And we have a podcast, and we can talk about stories and living it again.
I think
tell
one more
friends, people.
Yeah, right. One more mishap just before we wrap up on this. And I would assume it's happened to all three of us, because I feel like it happens to every RAL. At least everyone I've seen, I think. One of the first times you come out for your curtain call, I think all the RALs are pretty juiced to come out, because you're told, hey, run out and take your bow. And, you know, there's all that smoke and fog and the dry ice that they use for the final layer. So the stage gets really slippery, especially if it's humid out. And I think every RAL I've known, I know it's happened to me, and you do it once and you don't do it again. You come busting butt out of there to your curtain call, and you take that corner to go downstage, and whoop, right on your butt. Bam. And I've seen so many RALs bust it, and I busted it like my first time. Did it happen to you guys too? Did you slip and fall on your curtain call?
I definitely slipped. I'm not sure. I think I saved it. Like, I think it was like a, you know, like a figure skater trying to save that landing. I think I saved it, but you know, it didn't matter, because I've also had a curtain call where I busted my pants open and my underwear was hanging out. So I think that's worse.
that's on your first jump, because that
the RAL jump blowout
blows them out. Yeah. Was mine. I think in what you're talking about, Greg, the best one I ever saw the best one I have seen or I saw. Wow. English. It's not my first language. is Ryan Silverman. He ran out and he slipped and his body went horizontal to the earth and he smacked down right on the stage and the audience stopped clapping and went,
yes, I was there for, I remember that.
And got up, he stood up, looked at the audience and pointed at him as if to say, hold on. Right. And he ran back off stage and then ran on again and they went bananas. It was so great.
You know what? That was my plan. He would do that every once in a while. No, just kidding. Could you imagine? Yeah.
I actually can't imagine.
That's a Chicago moment. Yeah.
All right, guys. So we got to wrap it up, and we got to vote for mishaps. What's your vote?
Oh, God.
I mean, for me, the idea of making up the name of a character out of whole cloth when your job, your one job is to introduce said character. And then the fact that that made it like halfway around the country in the next like 10 minutes. I just think you've got to give it to Ken Cantor and Adobo Pasquale. That story will never get old for me.
Never.
I agree with that. What about you, Greg?
I agree. And because we didn't even touch all the other things that Ken Cantor did wrong. I mean, there were, Ken did was the greatest of the best.
It was so
of the
funny.
Mishaps. Yeah, the fireman scene. You know, scene. What a, oh my gosh. His Donatillo. I should not bend or repair them, but we'll go over there and sing my low note. I mean, brilliant.
Running off stage, yeah. Cracking up. Yeah, he's
yeah. When in doubt, over your lines, just narrate your actions. I'm turning to the left. I'm turning to the, when in doubt.
That's right.
And he told me one of his first night on as Lefebvre, he was up there and he said he forgot his lines and he just said, "I'm dry as a bone." And the guy playing Fearman was like, didn't help him out at all. He's like, good luck.
He just let him fry. Yeah. I think that's unanimous. I would agree that we can crown Mr. Cantor mishaps. That is great. I'm glad we figured that out today. So congratulations to Ken Cantor for being mishaps. Bravo! The crowd goes wild. Woo-hoo! Kyle, we'd like to thank you for joining us today and sharing the stories.
Thanks for your time.
We are family. This is a trio of family members, and that really hit hard for me this past week. And thinking about the closing, like, you aren't my coworkers, you aren't just my friends, you're my family. So I miss you, and I cherish any chance that we get to have this kind of connection. So yes. I'll come back anytime.
Great, thanks.
I know, because you and I, you know, we came in on the tour almost at the exact same time, basically, mm-hmm. and everybody, you know, always confused the two of us. It was, you know, we were like twin brothers out there.
We were interchangeable as far as everyone else was concerned.
I mean, honestly, yeah, yeah. So you'll always be, you know, a brother to me. So.
Brothers.
All right. Well, goodbye, Kyle. Thank you so much, bud. Have a great day. And
enjoy that yard.
Enjoy the
I'm so glad
grass.
You're doing this. Keep it up.
Yeah. Thanks, Yay. Man. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Man.
All right. Moving on. So thank you so much for listening today. Remember to go to the Pod of No Return and leave your comments because the comments help so much. We would love to know what you want to see, what you want to hear, people you want to see, ideas, because we take them very seriously. We take our ideas more seriously, but we'll take yours. I'm kidding. Obviously, this is a nice conversation to have back and forth with each other, and it's great. So this week, we do fan art shout-outs. I have a fan art shout-out
ready to
go. Yeah, nice. And this is an old one. I've had it in my dressing room for quite a long time. It's from ActuallyArtPH at Instagram. And this artist did the greatest thing. The artist really kind of put together a lot of the stuff that I was doing on Vine and on Instagram and put them all into one little picture of my dressing room, including the My Chemical Romance, which was Greg Mills's brainchild, mm-hmm. and it was genius. There's that
Kyle's in there, yeah. There we all
stuff Passerino. It's so perfect. So my shout out this week is for ActuallyArtPH. Thank you very much for this artwork. It has been a part of my dressing room for I think maybe 8-10 years now. I love it, and it's in my house as a result because it's so beautiful.
So cool.
Next week. What are we going to do there, Greg? Next week, the episode.
I think we're going to, I don't know. We should definitely take some suggestions from the fans. Maybe we can answer some more questions, spend some more time with that.
We have the Phantom Face-Off episode that we're going to do.
Yeah, we're hoping to get some of the Phantom understudies together. Maybe have a little Phantom Face-Off.
Phantom Face-Off.
Yeah, discuss all the things, you know, what we did, different makeups. We'll see if we can get the dresser and, you know, get Andrew and get Shazia who did the makeup in. We'll see who all we can get, but I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and so, we can also talk about, you know, what people think of all the Tony nominations and
get
people's
Tony
views and what they think.
Nominations. Yeah, what about the episode? We'll decompose the the Tony noms and
yeah,
give our opinions of most of the shows that we haven't seen.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to pick those up right now. All right. Well, cool. If you haven't, again, go to Pod of No Return. Follow us. Ask the questions. Tell your friends. And for this week, we'll sign off. Thank you for joining us.
And thanks again, Kyle, for coming and being our guest.
Kyle, and have a great week.
See you guys. We'll be right back.